everybody, and welcome to the fourth episode of Season 2 of Press X to Start.
We did it.
Press X is a weekly gaming podcast about inclusivity and its place in gaming. Games are for everybody, and at Press X we hope to break down the walls of exclusivity with our discussions of news, reviews, and all things video games. Your hosts are myself, Marcus, your heavyweight champion of the world from Wish a Nigga Would, DJ.
What?
Yeah, okay. And still I'm Avery.
Shout out to Cam who couldn't be here.
Yep.
And so, before we actually get into our what have we been playing and then proceed forward, we're going to put a message from our sponsors right here.
Hey everyone, this is Cameron. I want to take a moment to tell you where you can find all of our Press X media. Starting first with our website, go there to PressX2Start.com. There you can find a bunch of cool stuff. Also, you can find us on Facebook at PressX2Start. You can find us on Twitter at PressX2S and our Instagram page at PressX2Start. And if you want to listen to old episodes, new episodes, you can find us on your favorite podcasting app. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, Stitcher, whatever. Simply for Podbean, just look at PressX2Start.podbean.com. Thanks.
All right, thanks about that. All right, now, this has been a super light... I mean, actually, ever since we came back, it's been light in terms of what we've been playing. I think it's just right now we're in a bit of a dead zone.
Yeah, we're pretty much just been playing the same stuff.
Exactly, yeah. You know, because we're waiting for the year to, like, officially light up in terms of, like, all right, now we got these releases coming and people are going to be playing different stuff. Right. So, DJ and I don't really have anything to really bring up.
But
Avery jumped in on the PS Plus reward.
Well, yep. Last week when I brought it up during the news, I made a big point to say I'm going to do this. And as always, I'm going to follow through with what I said. So
when, man of his word, Avery Williams.
So Tuesday morning, I let the old PS4 download Bloodborne, and then Tuesday night, I played it, and what I can tell you is I do not like this game. That being said, I'm going to keep playing Bloodborne, because I think it's actually a very well-made game, and every once in a while, you gotta move out of your comfort zone, and as long as I can game the system, I can enjoy it. So let me break down what I don't like about Bloodborne.
Okay, doke.
I don't. I've said this multiple times. I don't play games for difficulty. So right. The fact that you can play the game and then the first, I don't know, foot out the door, die by just like a rank one enemy, I find infinitely frustrating. And the entire game's point is that like you have to go through these areas, find a checkpoint, and only then can you like save your progress and things like that. And you have to redo everything. Like it makes grinding, which is what I like to do in a game like this, difficult when like you can spend an hour grinding and then get killed twice in a row and lose all that progress.
Wow.
It's super frustrating.
Games like Bloodborne and Dark Souls remind me of this video done by YouTuber Caleb City, and he was talking about how like in a game that's when games are super difficult and drain the fun out of anything, like he was walking down the street and then he like tripped on a rock and then his body just went limp and it was just like, you died. Okay, he was like, a rock, nigga?
I don't like the gothic horror of it. I don't like horror as a genre. I've said it on multiple podcasts I've done over my life that like I don't like the lack of control that horror as a genre it forces you to deal with.
So wait, why did you grab this? And did you expect that the horror was going
to
be more of
no, I grabbed it because I made a point that's like, I am too much of a... I like myself as a pundit in this industry enough to be like,
air
I
quotes.
Can't... You're going to play the game because it's good. Because you heard that it's a good game.
That, and I want to be able to say, I've played Bloodborne, so this is my actual impressions, just me saying, this doesn't look like something online.
Yeah, we've said, we've said like off podcast many a time where it's like, we try not to hate on things that we have no point of reference on.
No. So
they try not to hate.
That's why I watch all the Twilight.
I'm trying to hate on things. Some things I guess can't bring myself to play.
Yeah. Right.
But long story short, I played about 3 hours of the game.
Yeah.
I got deep into the guides. So I The game is designed, the way I explained it to the DJ before we start recording, it's designed that you're only able to upgrade your character after you've seen the first boss and mm-hmm. get this thing called Insight, which allows you to see the truth of this world. Mm-hmm. Apparently, in the first area, if you go off to the side, there's the sewer area where you can find this thing called Madman's Knowledge, which will allow you to get Insight before the first boss. So I went into the first boss at like level 20 instead of level 10 is what I started with.
Okay. And wait, they start you at level 10?
It's, you can pick a background, and that background gives you a starting level. And I think I picked military dude, so I started off at 10.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's arbitrary.
Yeah.
It just designs your base stats.
Yeah, okay.
But long story short, I leveled up beforehand, got to the first boss, the cleric beast. And I beat him in one try.
Yeah.
Nice.
And like right now, my big fear of this game is this was way too easy.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to the second boss and then spend 6 hours trying to get through there. And like,
they lulled you into a false sense of
security. Exactly.
The part of me that fucking loves trophies got a trophy for killing the first boss. So now I'm like, I can't just sit here and abandon this game now. Because I can't just delete it from my hard drive like I did like Call of Duty World at War. Like, I have a trophy. I need to see it through.
Avery, this is an intervention.
Right.
Come see me at level 25, fucking plebs.
Welcome to Press X to Stop.
Anyway, I'm going to keep playing Bloodborne in between me playing Monster Hunter World.
That was
World,
really good.
But it's going to get really impacted by what's coming out soon.
Right.
Yeah,
so that's really all we got for the
pretty
world
much,
we're playing.
Pretty much.
But that's good that we had a short right. world we're playing, because there is a lot of news this week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot.
So take it away, Avery.
Okay, so this is a weird week for news. Normally, it's in our quote-unquote news season. There's been a lot of me taking an active knife to all the news stories that you usually aggregate so we can keep the news really small. Mm-hmm. But like in the last 3 days, like big news after big news after big news came. So
yeah,
it's keep on coming.
This is fortuitous. There's only three of us, so maybe we can get through it quicker.
Right.
So let's jump off to number one.
All right.
On the docket. Ubisoft has announced Division 2. They'll be showing it off at E3.
Mm-hmm.
I am super fucking excited.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm also excited.
This is going to be an interesting conversation I wanted to have with DJ. As DJ was the big Destiny guy, he kept playing Destiny even after I jumped the train.
Right.
I like Division better than vanilla Destiny.
I wanted to like Division. Everything that I saw in Division spoke to me.
Right.
And I was really amped about getting into it and actually having fun in the game. My main problem with that game, and funny story, I was actually talking to, shout out to Jordan, yesterday about Division.
Mm-hmm.
My main problem with that game was the fact that everything is set in a realistic setting.
Right.
Except for the health bars that are floating like above the guys that you're shooting.
Right.
It's not like two headshots, that guy's down. It's like pop, 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 reload. Pop, pop, pop. Okay, he's dead. And it's just like, that's not what I expected from the art direction of that game. Like,
I get what you mean.
Nothing in the trailer gave you that feeling that, oh, everybody has health bars. Like, yeah, I understand it's an RPG.
Right.
And that's sort of the give and take to an RPG. But I think that, well, that and the whole floating cover mechanic, those two things kind of killed the game for me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm at a place where Destiny is not such a prevalent thing in my life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there, but it's just not there. So I'm actually excited to see how they go from Division 1 to Division 2.
I really enjoyed Division. I'm a sucker for that aesthetic or that kind of setting where it's like post-apocalyptic and like very, your scavengers trying to survive and trying to rebuild the world in a way.
Right, right.
I love that whole aesthetic. And my big thing with Division 1 is while I really enjoyed it, I would have liked more in the way, I wish the story was a little deeper. I get why it wasn't.
Yeah. Okay. My problem with the first Division is like my only problem is that you get to the crescendo of the story, like, and then the main bad guy just disappears.
Yeah.
He leaves a message for you at his house, like, I was here, I didn't expect you to get here, but I'm gone, bye, and then the game gets into the end game.
And then he flips on the back of the message, went to Disney World?
No.
Pretty much.
Because, like, one thing I loved about Division This is a semantic argument we can have another episode. But I think The Division 1 is a better game than Destiny 1 at launch. And I think
one at launch, okay.
Yeah, and we can talk about how they both evolved post games. I know Destiny 1 got a lot of
I could agree with that. I mean, but that also comes the fact that Division 1 released after.
One of the things that Division 2 also has the benefit of. Right. Here's everything that Destiny 2 did bad.
Right.
We don't have to do this.
Exactly.
But like one of the things I really loved about Division was that like Destiny's story at a certain point just felt like these are just directions to get you in the right into missions.
Right.
Like there didn't feel like there's this narrative pull because the game didn't really have a strong narrative thrust. Well, the Division did. You were here for a purpose, and everywhere you went was exploring a new avenue of this world. To when you got to one of the last missions, and you're fighting this guy, and he's attacking you with a fucking helicopter, which at this point in the game you've not seen, and it's like this is a really intense fight. And like I love that part of the story, and I'm hoping we get more of that. It also feels better to play Division 1 by yourself than it did playing Destiny 1 by yourself.
Really?
Yes.
I had no problem playing Destiny 1 by myself.
Well, I played Destiny 1 by myself. But like the difference was that Destiny, for me, felt like a game that was really built around the fire team idea.
Yeah.
Well, the Division was because of the aesthetic in the world, it was like, I'm alone.
Well, how far... Are you talking about just the story, or are you talking about like Dead Zone stuff as well?
No, I'm talking about the story. Like the story. Okay. Like
I didn't have a problem. Like I actually played most of the story by myself because there was no one playing with me.
One of the reasons why I'm really, really hoping that our whole thing takes off and that we're able to just kind of do this as a thing is the fact that since we all individually have our own schedules, I would love to jump into Division 2 when it comes out with y'all and like make it a regular thing. But like, given the way that our schedules
I convinced Marcus to get Division 1, and like we just never were able to play it.
Yeah.
By the time I was on, I was already such a higher level than
him. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then couple that with the fact that Marcus is on more sporadically than I am.
Yeah.
So like in the week and a half it took me to beat the game, Marcus was maybe like a third way through.
So what we can do, I think we could still play together, but obviously it won't be like as frequent, but like since we all have the advantage this time because I already played the Division of knowing from ground floor
what's happening.
This is something that we're interested in doing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can hopefully at least get a few games in before Avery laps all of us.
Right. Right.
And it gets pissed off in the Dead Zone.
I'll be interested to see what their take is on the Dead Zone because I thought it was a cool concept. I didn't like how they implemented it.
I still think it's a cool concept. I think for the most part, they implemented it well. It just didn't mesh well with the way I wanted to play this game.
I didn't really enjoy my time there.
Because like when I went in there and I found the quote fire team, because that's how all these games work. I found the fire team. We went through. We did missions. We killed guys. And then there'd just be those guys waiting for you at the exit. Like,
you're not leaving.
Like, okay.
That's not.
Exiting the Weenie Hut Jr. version of the Division.
One of my favorite parts about the Division, and this is one of my things that I wish Destiny would have done with the tower. We kind of got a little bit in Destiny 2, where you go from the farm that keeps evolving as you progress through the story.
Oh, yeah.
I love the fact that, like, your base in the Division,
it's growing because of your progress.
And I really hope they do better is they make that growing hub an actual like hub where you can actually do things in beyond just character select stuff.
Right.
But moving on. Also, big news for this is story is really going to pertain to me and DJ. Sorry. Fortnite, beyond it being this success, with apparently it's lapped PUBG at this point, which.
I'm not surprised, to be honest.
We talked about it like two episodes ago. We thought this was going to happen.
Yep.
They're putting Fortnite everywhere.
On Fortnite everywhere. Phones, Fortnite everywhere.
Fortnite
everywhere.
In your bed.
Right.
In your shower. They're releasing Fortnite
in your toilet.
And what they're saying they're doing is they're saying there's crossplay between mobile, PC, and PS4. So if Marcus had Fortnite on his Android device, DJ was on his PC, and I was playing on PlayStation 4, we could all conceivably play together.
Right. Oh, wow.
However, I'm pretty sure this is only the Battle Royale mode. So I need to say this with a grain of salt.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Of course it's only the Battle Royale mode. That's the only thing people play anymore, right. Avery.
I know.
Sorry, Avery's the only one trying to save the world. Everybody else trying to kill each other.
And actually, that kind of makes the most sense because in terms of just having a finite amount of resources, like that is the easiest to offload from the the console version onto your mobile version. The most
interesting thing is there's also cross progression.
Yeah.
So like you could play a game of Fortnite Battle Royale on your phone, come home to your PS4 and carry all that progression onward.
And the way that the matchmaking is going to work is if you are on mobile or Android, you can jump into a console or PC game, but you can opt in.
You have to opt in. Like, it's not going to put you, if you're playing on mobile, it's not going
to
throw you into a lot
of games. You opt in to PC join fans. To their games.
You have to opt in.
Right. And it doesn't work the other way around. So PC and consoles can't jump into a mobile game.
Okay.
Because they would probably decimate everybody.
Because you're playing with a fucking touchscreen.
Yeah, exactly.
So another story that's not surprising to anyone. Pretty much Sony has delayed Days Gone.
Yeah, we figured.
From what I can tell, the verbiage on the
Who would have thunk?
At a certain point, we all read the tea leaves. Yeah. I think they were very vague on their verbiage. So this isn't really a delay. More like this game is coming out in 2019.
Yep.
We never said it was coming out in 2018. There could be some interview somewhere where someone did say 2018, which is why we all thought it was. But regardless.
We only thought it was because we saw it at E3.
Yeah.
Like, they never specifically said when this was coming out.
Right.
As far as how I'm feeling about the game, it's still the same. However, it's going to be interesting if Last of Us is a 2019 game.
Yep.
At this point, I don't, like, if we don't see...
It's very possible that Days Gone can be start of 2019, Last of Us can be end of 2019.
My thing is, Sony now wouldn't put out Last of Us in the fall.
Boy, look, let me tell you this.
Like, we've seen them every year in this generation just not put out their tentpole games in the fall. And why we're all.
I think Last of Us has enough weight where they can pull that.
It absolutely
And it's just like, okay, well, you guys have to work around this game now.
But then this is just me, like, viewing how I view Sony now, how they market things now.
Right.
I think it'd be a, like, I'm, what I'm trying to intimate is I don't think Last of Us is a 2019 end game anymore. Like,
in 2020?
Yeah, I think it's a 2020
game. You think so?
I think it's a 2020 game.
I believe in a past podcast I mentioned that Last of Us was going to be 2020.
And
I thought you said something else was 2020, but...
No, I think I was... Because I was saying that Days Gone was going to be 2019 and Last of Us was going to be 2020.
We'll see, because I don't know if they're going to... I mean, Naughty Dog is
capable of shitting out a game in 2 years and having it be amazing. But
i.e. The Last Odyssey or The Lost Odyssey.
Not, that was a smaller game, but I'm talking about Uncharted 2 to Uncharted 3. They had like 2 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right.
But this is PS4. Things are harder to they're harder to make for, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And also, we've only seen a bunch of sort of like
vignettes
stuff. If we see gameplay this year, then I'll believe 2019 and I'll pay credence to the idea that they're releasing it in the fall. I don't think it's a smart idea to be in the fall, because as much as we say like it can go toe-to-toe with like a Call of Duty or a Battlefield, I remember those days of like PlayStation putting out their top games and them getting not putting a dent in anything at, like, even the worst Halo.
I get what you mean, but good God, like, Last of Us is a rare thing.
Yeah.
Like, Last of Us is...
I think that was something that would happen in the past. I'm not sure if that holds true now.
It's also not the easiest game to market. There's the audience who's going to go into it, because, like, we love the theme of the story, but, like, it's not a fun game.
Yeah, we're already aware of what we're getting ourselves into when we see The Last of Us, but
that when they dropped that trailer, though, that... Yeah. Basically almost broke the internet, so to speak.
Like, right. They also dropped it at PSX.
Yeah, but I say, that was...
I know, but I'm saying, like, there's a fervor definitely for that.
I'm
just saying the smart play would be to keep on path with what they're doing
not
fuck their third parties and be like, we're going to put out our biggest game.
I think they probably shouldn't bring out Days Gone and Last of Us 2 in the same year. Because Days Gone is going to get forgotten.
I think the one thing that we forget is that in a year, it's easy for when big games drop to shift. Mm-hmm. So before, I think it was Dying Light, when that dropped like early 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, that was something that was unprecedented. And then everyone was just like, why would they do that? And they did well. And they were like, oh, that's crazy.
Because no one's shipping games.
The next year, people dropped Horizon.
Yeah.
Horizon was
February. That's because it flipped.
Yeah.
And no one didn't tell anyone.
Right.
But like this year, specifically Monster Hunter World is doing so well
because exactly.
there's nothing around
yeah.
them.
Yeah, right. So like
and Destiny should
this bet. Like that that yeah that that point in when a game should release in the year will shift.
Yeah.
So by 2020, point, we don't know exactly when that will be.
At this point, shipping a game is, are there any other big games around it? No, put the game there. And the audience will find it as long as you market it.
Yeah.
I do honestly, last point before we move on to the next topic. In a weird way, because I feel like Naughty Dog, or at least Neil Druckmann, sometimes thinks and like a film. He got nominated to like
Vice President of Naughty Dog.
Oh, oh really?
Yeah.
He's, congratulations. He's
still right?
creative shout director out. Of Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
Shout like, out to him.
But like creative just, director slash vice president.
just be, but because like Neil Druckmann
Jeez.
In ways fancies himself like a film director,
mm-hmm.
I fully believe that he's the type that also would not release like Last of Us in like the summer because of the vibe and the feel of the game.
Really?
Like
oh, I wouldn't say they release into the summer anyway. I say right. that like in late winter.
Yeah.
Like okay. February.
Yeah, I would say like, I, don't, like, how, like I also don't think that they have a choice in when it's released.
I mean, I know, I but I'm just saying like, so, like he Sony, would. Like, he, hey. I feel like he would fight that type of release. It's kind of like how once the vibe of like a show like Mr. Robot changed, they stopped releasing it in the summer.
Mm.
So yeah.
Okay. Okay. So another thing, there's Vince of Scuttlebutt with Blizzard and the relationship with the Switch and whether they're going to put Diablo 3 on
yeah.
Switch.
Yeah.
I'm a Diablo 3 fan. I think it's one of my of that hack and slash RPG genre, it's probably yeah. one of my favorites, and I played it on PS3, and then the PS4, and then I forgot about it on PS4.
Shout out to my wife; she also enjoyed Diablo a while ago.
My wife,
we should play them.
Yeah, instead of Gauntlet. We tried doing that a while ago. No, we whatever. That's okay, a tangent.
Well, you can do it on her sister show, right. FX After Dark. To find right. out what happened with DJ and Diablo and his wife. Anyway, yeah, they're from what the rumor mill is going on that the game was in production. And their teething was not. It was just someone fired at the wrong second with their teething.
Really?
So, like, it's in production, not ready in any time soon. But it's coming to Switch.
Interesting.
If you're a Switch.
I actually didn't hear that. Yeah.
If you're a Switch owner, cool. It's another
yeah.
game that came out 10 years ago. It's on the Switch. But that's a cool bit of news. Okay, have you heard everything that's going on with this game called Super Seducer?
Oh, yeah, I have.
So what's that? It is an FMV game about teaching you how to pick up girls.
Hey, babe.
But it's
can
not
I touch
like,
you?
But it's not like classy where, like, here are things you don't say. Here are things, no, it's like...
But wait, Avery. How could it possibly not be classy with the title Super Seducer?
Yeah, it's a two-year-old adventure where you get to go up to a woman and say, hey, baby, let me check out them boobs. I'm like, oh, this is not.
Katie got some big ass titties.
Okay, so why I'm bringing this up is that it's been in the gaming cycle for a couple of weeks now. Most outlets, well, I feel reviews
are panning it.
Not even panning it, just refusing to cover it in general.
Okay, yes, yes.
The content and Sony put their foot down and said we're not publishing on Blaze anymore.
Yep.
Which has brought up a very interesting argument about.
I'm completely fine with it. There's a difference between a bad game in terms of principle and a bad game in terms of mechanics and design. Like
right.
a bad you can release a bad game and say, hey, I tried my hardest and it's just this is what I put out. Like, you know, if you want to support me, you can support me. But if you put a bad game that's like, yeah, women are objects for you to grab and hold and yeah. this is how you do it, yeah. that's a problem. Like, no.
Yeah.
That's not another good news. Okay, so other news. So Valve is making games again. I say this because their Artifact game, which is a card game based on their Dota franchise.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, oh, characters from Artifact are going to show up in Dota eventually. Oh, that's cool. We're also making other games. So that's got us in the game spirit being like, when you say other games, you mean like new IPs, re-releasing old games?
We're making mobile games, guys.
I don't think they make mobile games because they couldn't sell through Steam.
Yeah.
But all I want is a Portal 3.
Oh, Portal 3. Okay.
Of all their three big pillars of franchise, Left 4 Dead, Half-Life.
That's what I want.
And Portal. Left 4 Dead.
We're not going to get it, but.
Yeah, I don't know how that'll work in this market now, man. Because, like, everything is aping that style. So it's
Yeah, I'm pretty sure grabbing the AI pills. Director isn't like. This like it was revolutionary like 10 years ago. Like the game reaction, I'm like, well, now every game's
sort of yeah, right.
But
I just missed. But those
Portal
games.
in the grand scheme of their games is the best design of their games. Like I remember playing Portal 1 on the Orange Box, shout out to you, Chagall, and then playing Portal 2, beating that game, and then going back a year later and playing it, and, like, all the puzzles were, like, second nature to me, and I'm like, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
Like, that game, it was a game that took me, a week to get through, and then, like on an afternoon, I got through the entire game, I'm like, oh, God.
Wow.
Because it's like, I spent so much time banging my hand up against the wall, how am I supposed to fucking play, put this
bitch? Right, right.
And I just want to see that game again.
Yeah. I've only played a bit of Portal 2, but I know enough about the story and everything that it's actually a pretty interesting, like just the whole GLaDOS thing and all that stuff. Like, I always found it was a very interesting piece of nerd zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Imagine on modern consoles where, like, they can push that. Like, imagine, like, one of the big things at the end of Portal 2 was you shoot a portal to the moon. Well, I'm pretty sure in model consoles, maybe you actually go to the moon and back again.
True.
No loading. It's going to be great.
And part of the nerd zeitgeist.
Yes. Okay. So last week we talked about Trump meeting with video game representatives and how that wasn't going to happen. Right. Well, it actually did happen.
He's just meeting with everybody these days.
From what the video game journalists have been talking about, he met with the worst group of people to talk about video games ever. Like, in terms of, the head of the ESA, I think head of the ESRB, a couple of other big game devs, and then a bunch of anti-gang people.
He brung a bunch of anti-gang, like, congressional men.
And then, no experts or scientists.
Yeah, there's no scientists in the room at all.
Did we really think that he was going to...
And so, oddly enough, he didn't... That fucking presentation, out of all the ones he has, was not shown in one of his live streams about all the good he's doing. Yeah. However, what did get out was a clip of what they showed to talk about the violence of video games.
Yeah.
And out of context, everything in that is super fucked up. Like, it seems from Call of Duty, Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
Like, you remember at the end of Call of Duty 2, you, like, got stabbed in the chest, you had to pull out the knife and then throw it at a guy.
Yeah.
That's not even the most controversial section.
They showed no Russian.
Yep.
Out of context,
yeah.
Super fucked up. I would have really liked to have seen that meeting at the video games guy. Like, you're taking all of this clips out of context.
Exactly.
Like, the out of context violence in video games is like showing somebody, like, I don't know, Attack on Titan or Always Sunny in Philadelphia out of context.
Right.
And telling them, yeah, you would think that's something you can get into?
So this show has become your, like, stand-up, where you get to use your jokes and you've been using your robot.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good to know.
Papa's got
to
eat.
So, I don't know what's going to happen out of this conversation.
I don't think anything's going to happen.
Probably nothing.
I just hope we don't get into another fucking Salem Witch Trial for video games again.
Yeah.
Because that was like...
It's a cyclical thing at this point. Happened. I'm sure 10 years from now, we'll get into another one because it always happens. Yeah. Time's a flat circle.
Sure, well, as long as we have guns floating around there, of course.
Our official construct. Okay, and so this is before we get to the biggest news, which is Nintendo Direct, there's some rumors going around, which I found interesting. It's only rumors. I didn't get enough time to do due diligence to investigate.
You said doo-doo.
I said
He said due diligence.
He said doo-doo-doo-diligence.
Why you? Reach.
Anyway, so apparently PS5 dev kits have gone out.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Which is laying credence to, like, because outside of Ghost of Tsushima, Sony haven't really announced any games that we don't really know about. Mm-hmm. And while, for the most part, we know what all their major studios are doing, what it looks like is happening is, I'm not making any predictions. It's not a pizza bet, aka Cam owing us money for what again?
Kingdom Hearts coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's gonna this be, year. That's going to be a great fucking pizza to eat.
I'm going
to
have so much
We're gonna
pizza.
We're going to eat it on mic in front of him as we play Kingdom Hearts. But I think PS5 is a 2020 thing.
I was going to say that. My only concern about that is Last of Us.
My thing is Last of Us 2 is going to go the way of God of War and the original Last of Us.
I hope not.
Last hurrah for the PS4.
Oh, okay.
I was about to say.
I was thinking Zelda, where it released for
There was a story, I want to say a couple days ago, that Sony was researching backwards compatibility, and a bunch of people who are super into playing PS3 games and things, like, who want the Xbox 360 experience the Xbox One has, which... Yeah. I'm not really a fan of playing old games with old. I still have my PS3, so I still play PS3 games on that. And from what the numbers have been telling us about backwards compatibility, it's not really a, it's a very great consumer thing.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. On paper, no one really cares about
yeah.
it. That being said, the patent was for, from what I can tell, for PS4 architecture going
yeah.
forward.
Yeah.
So what it looks like is they're going to sort of deep six the Xbox One X in a couple of years, and that they're going to release a more powerful system that will play Xbox PS4 games without muddle the message.
Wait, you mean deep six PlayStation Pro?
No. I think PlayStation Pro, I think that's going to be, I'm saying in terms of competing with Xbox over who has the best console.
Yeah.
I think in 2 years, they're going to release a console that's better than the One X that can play PS4 games in perpetuity, but they're not going to muddle the message like the One X did, where we like coming out like, it's a brand new console.
I mean, I kind of feel like they are just going to continue the normal console cycle, and they're just going to release a PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
And not really, I'm not sure if you're saying like they're going to say like, oh, this is a PlayStation
No, I'm saying it's going to be the PS5 is going to be released.
Oh, okay,
but it's going
okay.
to be better than the One X.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it would have to be.
Which is
yeah.
and then what generally
place
happens.
Now we're like, okay.
What are they going to do?
What are we going to do? Because
yeah.
we can't just release an Xbox 2.
Exactly. Yeah.
The dick measuring match continues.
Yeah, right. Console
Wars, guys.
Right.
So that was the big major minor, those the minor bits of this news, but
mm-hmm.
Nintendo dropped a direct on us Thursday, and there is a, you just made a switch. Fucking great.
You proud of yourself?
And there's a lot to
I
it.
Am.
I can't snap my fingers worth a damn.
There okay. you go.
Oh, your big fucking toe thumbs.
Oh, God.
Hey.
You and Jeez. Megan Fox.
We have something in common. Also, I didn't know how to snap. For like 20 years of my life.
Boy, I can't even whistle.
That's a long time.
It kills me every day.
Yeah.
There's some hot tunes I can't even enjoy. I had to hum loudly.
I thought you didn't even like music.
Hey, man. Every once in a while you get
He didn't like music because he couldn't whistle.
I never knew my father.
Anyway, so they start off in the Nintendo Direct, and then they showed off a bunch of 3DS stuff. We're
yeah.
not really going to cover here because... All of the three. Well,
Wario
DJ
was
the,
there.
DJ yeah. owned the 3DS, but like he doesn't play 3DS games.
I know where it is. It's not charged.
I got like four 3DSs somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't fucking play 3DSs games.
There's an armadillo game.
Oh,
you're right. Armadillo.
But the meat of the direct was announcing a bunch of updates for old games, a
right.
bunch of ports, a bunch of releases that we weren't expecting on Switch,
yep.
and one really big piece of news at the very end. So we're going to try and go break this down piece by piece by piece. So first thing first, Okami HD, which was recently released this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is going to be on Switch. I want to say it's releasing in the summer. So if you liked Okami, and if you're
game.
One of those Switch people who refuses to like, no, get a real console, like, hey, Okami's coming to you.
Jeez.
Look,
a real console.
I haven't touched my Switch in a month and a half.
Man, that's... I'm probably at 3 months or so.
Like I love Mario Odyssey, and I loved all those games I played on Switch.
It's not speaking to me
it's
anymore.
It's just not speaking.
Yeah.
But like the handheld of it doesn't appeal to me.
Right.
So you have to come to me like really, really
well,
good
Avery,
games that compete
you would
with my PS4.
Communicate with your Switch better, she would talk to you.
Oh.
I don't communicate with anyone better. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker that was on Wii U mm-hmm. is being ported to Switch.
Okay.
It's also being ported to 3DS, so they're still working on that there. But I've heard a lot of great things about Treasure Tracker.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a cool puzzle game.
Yeah.
So I might pick it up on a lark on like I'm looking for something to play in between
yeah.
bigger Switch games. Octopath Traveler is no longer Project Octopath Traveler. It is just now Octopath Traveler.
Which is weird because...
Well,
okay, just okay.
I like the name. I think it's a cool. Japanese
yeah, it's cool, but like the whole Project Octopath Traveler.
I think it actually speaks well to what the game is about, which
yeah.
is eight, and then every character has a specific path they go through the game and things.
Every
like
character
that.
Has eight arms and 8 feet.
That's another game we'll talk about.
No, they have 2 legs, but 8 feet, by the way.
But anyway, I don't think we've ever talked about Octopath Traveler on this show.
No.
I think from the environmental standpoint, the game looks cool.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of sprites, mm-hmm. so like the game just doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, the art direction for me is a little hit and miss. I think it's kind of cool, but it's not. I wish they went a different route.
I can appreciate it from it being a creative choice that they took.
Yeah.
And it could have looked a lot more shoddy. And the fact that it does not look shoddy is what gives away that it was an artistic choice, because they put a lot of, you could tell they put a lot of care into making this sprite world,
right?
Which is definitely shown through the battle, the battle sequences, which look really dope. But
I kind of wonder how that's going to look on a small screen, though.
Yeah.
Ah, no.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So, the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy is also coming to Switch. It's also coming to Xbox One, but it's more...
Wait, do you guys hear that? What have I got? I don't think anybody cares. Okay.
The numbers don't lie. They didn't care.
Yeah, no, I am legitimately flabbergasted by how much, like, that's longevity that Crash Bandicoot's had.
Game was never good though.
He's a bandicoot in jorts.
I've only played the I've only played the Crash Bandicoot sequence in Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
So that's the only way I
played like 1 through 3.
Yeah, me too.
And it was just like at the time it was fine.
Crash
but, like,
Team Racing was fire.
Yeah. That was
to,
that
I can't
was
wait
good.
To see us like get big so I can see you in the room with Tim Gettys just telling him like, "Hey man, Crash sucks."
I'm a fan. Also, but Crash.
Also,
not
Sonic
good.
Right. Get hyped, Tim. Let's go. Anyway, they talked more about Dark Souls. They're having a network test, so like, let's see if their network will work with Dark Souls.
Yep.
They're also releasing a Solaire amiibo, so you can praise the sun anytime you want. That's cool. I'm going to get that amiibo. I'm not going to get the game. I'm going to get the amiibo. Undertale, which was recently released last year for PS4 and Vita, is being released on Switch, so that's cool. Yeah. Undertale, the game that I want to play deep desperately.
Yeah. I'm actually like
Undertale
really interested
is, one of those,
in that game.
One of those
and
games.
That's one like I don't like the way it looks sprite wise. Yeah. But everything that people have said about it makes me want to play it. Go. Yeah.
Undertale is one of those games where the game itself looks really interesting, but the community surrounding it is horrible.
Hey man, my friend Melissa is a fan of that game.
Oh,
she's
really?
Great.
What's wrong?
Hot
with...
garbage.
What's told the community around
it's,
it?
I mean, it's weird.
Really?
it's real weird. Hmm. It's like it's almost what's that game? What's that online game with the horned people?
Oh, wait. You're talking about Homestuck?
There we go. It's almost home. It's almost Homestuck levels of weird.
I have no idea what Homestuck is.
It's just good.
It's
be glad.
I, as someone who just casually looks at all of these things just so I can have a cursory knowledge, I can't tell you anything about it.
Okay.
As someone who's had Tumblr for years, there was a period of time
like,
where it was...
one thing I will say about Homestuck, the way that game...
It's called Homestuck?
Homestuck. Mm-hmm. The MS Paint Adventures Home Stuff. The way that it's evolved into a fandom is fascinating. From like one guy on MS Paint making comics to like suddenly he's got his entire giant fandom.
There's a period of time where Homestuck and Bronies were the biggest, like might be the biggest Tumblr fandoms like out there for a while.
That's crazy.
It's real odd.
Also, so they also South Park The Fractured Butthole is also being released for Switch. So that game's out there for you on Switch. That's actually like, I'm not gonna make the say that I would play it on Switch on like over PS4, but like in terms of like a get for Switch, that and Dark Souls are like, okay, Switch, you know, you don't want to get a real console, here's some real games.
Yeah. I mean that's a good get for Switch.
And so in more major news, they finally showed up. Oh, No More Heroes, Travis Strikes Again.
And
it's not what you expect.
It's not, and I was very taken aback. I'm gonna judge it when I play it to see if it plays like I want. If it's going to actually be a fun game to play.
Yeah.
But from like they from what I can tell, Suda 51 took a very Nintendo approach to designing this game.
Yeah.
In that he designed the game for the platform rather than just make a game and then put it on the.
And
platform.
it's kind of disappointing to see him do that. It's like. I understand him making that choice, and it's probably a bit more of a marketable choice for him to make, but it's kind of disappointing with a creator like Suda to acquiesce to a format. I would have loved for it.
But it's not acquiesce. I mean, I'm pretty sure the way Suda works, he's like, yeah, let's do it like this.
I mean, yeah, but I kind of would have rather him decide to just like, I'm going to make this proper sequel to No More Heroes and put it on the Switch, because it could work on the Switch, as DJ was saying off mic.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the conceit that you're playing seven different individual different worlds and all those have different aesthetics and a way you go through it is cool. I just like the part of the No More Heroes that gets the part of No More Heroes that I either hate or love is the actual combat.
Right.
Because like when you're getting a boss fight, it's fucking fun. But when you're just walking through an area fighting random guys, it's like, I could do without this.
Yeah.
And they showed that off a lot here. So I'm wondering how the actual, how this new gameplay, like cameras, like everything that they've changed for, is going to work going forward.
And that's not to say that the game will be bad. It'll probably be really good.
It'll be enjoyable. Good is always in the eye of the beholder with No More Heroes games.
Yeah.
Then they showed off essentially an entire direct worth of information on Mario's Tennis Aces, which looks really cool.
It was literally a tutorial of how do you play this game.
And then halfway through it, I was watching it and like, wow, there's a lot of really involved shit that's going on in the game. And by the end of it, like, you can also play it without
anything. Right. Remember what you saw the last 5 minutes?
Throw it out the
Forget
window.
Forget that.
Yeah, so it was like, no items, found this nation.
Right. Box up. Exactly, right.
Mario Tennis has always been dope, so...
Yeah.
Well, the Mario sports games have always been dope.
There's a lot of polish that goes into it, and it looks good. And it plays good, too.
Nintendo was weird, because, I understand the PlayStation Worldwide Studios. I kind of understand the Microsoft Worldwide Studios. They got, three that just make Halo games. Mm-hmm. And that was a jab at Microsoft expense. I didn't mean it, but...
Hot takes with things,
right?
Nintendo's... I've never understood how the Worldwide Studios work.
Yeah.
Because, everyone is just Nintendo. They all just work in the same building. How many teams do they have? Is this the same team that makes the Mario Tennis games?
Yeah.
Or is this the same team that made the Mario Strikers games? Mm.
They're really strict about their branding. Yeah. It's always Nintendo.
Which how they got so many goddamn DICE awards.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Nintendo Act.
So this is where the new Nintendo Direct really got interesting. So they showed off a big piece of DLC for Splatoon 2. They're calling it Splatoon Octo Expansion, which it's a new single player mode which bleeds into the multiplayer where you get to play as one of the Octolings, which were the villains of the Splatoon world.
Here's a new question real quick.
Okay.
No rant. Okay, so forgive my ignorance.
Okay.
Splatoon 2. Mm-hmm. Where was Splatoon 1?
Splatoon 1 was on Wii U.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
Okay.
Continue.
that was a joke with Splatoon 2, because when we first saw it, I'm like, this is just Splatoon.
Yeah.
They changed nothing. But then the people who played it are like, yeah, this is Splatoon 2. They've done enough new stuff to make this Splatoon 2.
Gotcha.
Because the Switch isn't like a operational upgrade from the Wii U.
Right.
Aesthetically, the game didn't really change. So, outside looking in, it just looks like the same goddamn game.
Gotcha. Right?
But, so this is a brand new expansion. It's got this really cool, kind of reminds me of Let It Die, in terms of, here's this subway station, here's a train, and then you're playing as this Agent 8.
Or Persona 5.
Well, yeah, you're playing as Agent 8. How is Persona 5 what you do?
I love it. Okay.
There's your Mark Nelson update.
And the crowd goes silent.
But yeah, so you play as Agent 8, and you're going through a new single-player experiences. You'll get to play with Octolings. They also announced a brand new suite of DLC costumes and things like that. Mm. Splatoon 2, Splatoon in general, is a game where I love that Nintendo cornered the market. No one thought it could be cornered. Let's make a shooter for kids.
Yeah.
And then let's actually make a competent shooter for kids.
Yeah.
It just, everything about the game just speaks to what I like about design and things like that.
Yeah.
I just can't get into it. Mm-hmm. That being said, this trailer ended, and they got this really cool cutscene of the Inkling children fighting against each other.
Yep.
And then one of them, the girl, looks up to the sky and everything goes dark and she just sees the Smash Bros. Logo. And I have never gone through a whiplash of emotions in a video game trailer.
That was so dope.
So much. Because Smash Brothers, no! Wait, Smash Brothers, yes! Is this a port? It's a brand new game.
Yup.
I don't know how to feel.
Guess who was calling it?
The look of Mario shrouded in darkness, ready to administer hands.
We had a fight over whether it was going to be a port or it was going to be a brand new game. I have more information to tell you. It's not going to be a port.
What? For this?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's a brand new game.
Yeah, I know.
So officially, it is.
It's going to be a brand new game.
Well, officially, they haven't said anything, but we can infer with all the information they've given us, this is a brand new game.
Yeah. Thank the Lord.
Okay, so the director, I forgot his name, shit.
Oh, Sakura.
Yeah, Sakura-san.
There you go.
He's been working on this game since they wrapped Smash
4
Wii U.
Oh,
and he's been working in silent.
And that was the 2014 game, and they were doing DLC in that until 2015.
He pulled a Beyonce.
Yes.
He's had about 3 years to work on this game. Uh-huh. I don't think it's going to fall into the Splatoon 2 problem, where it's going to be it's going to look to anyone who saw for Wii U, It's just the same game. Yeah. No, no, they've done work to this. So yeah. I'm confident it's going to be a brand new game.
This is going
to
be good.
I'm so fucking excited.
This is going
to
be good.
Like, this is the first time I've been excited about news for new Smash Bros. For Smash Bros. Going to Switch in ages.
Yeah. Oh, baby.
Yeah.
Hands are going to get couple
things. One of the things that pointed out we're going to get a brand new game is that, like, they showed Mario in the trailer. They also showed Link, but it's not Twilight Princess or Skyward Sword. It's Breath of the Wild Link.
Yep.
So it's clearly they're working on a different model, and they've only changed the Link model every generation to match the Link of that generation.
Right.
So are you telling me that
although
Mario's new Smash is going to take over your brain and then throw you
right, off the stage? Right. Like, when they showed his character model in the trailer, like, Mario didn't have the cappy hat. He had his normal
hat. Well, the cappy hat only does the cappy thing when
like, it's like activated or whatever.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Somebody was like, "I'm not throwing hats no more. I'm throwing hands."
So let's talk about the brand new Smash Brothers and what we really want. Because the big fear going to this is if we're going to lose things going forward.
Right.
Like, are we going to lose Cloud? Are we going to lose Ryu? Are we going to lose? We're going to keep Bayonetta. There's no way Bayonetta's going to see the. They're making Bayonetta 3.
I honestly think that they need to lose like a lot of the extraneous characters.
We don't need Dr. Mario.
No, we don't.
No, we don't need Dr. Mario.
And as much as I like Lucina from Fire Emblem, we don't need another character who plays exactly like
Mario. We need exactly two Fire Emblem characters, that's it.
Fuck you. Fuck you. We need
Ike. There is too many.
We need Korn, and we need...
Nah, it's too many. That's too many. No. I will say we keep Ike, and we keep Marth. That is it.
No.
That is
Korn,
it.
We keep Korn. Korn is fucking baller. Nah. And we keep Robin.
Who's Robin?
The
mage.
Don't even fucking know. We get rid of all of them.
They're like 10
I'd say
Mario characters in this game.
I'd say they
Mario
could keep...
made Nintendo.
It's like 10 Mario characters and like 8 Pokemon. Let's keep the 4 Fire Emblem characters.
I could at least I could at least say that Robin could stay because he's a whole ass mage and completely
plays
differently.
Oh, we get rid of Marth then.
All right. Wait, no. Because Marth is a finesse player and Ike is a tank.
Oh, this freaking fucking fantastic. We know the Inklings are going to be in the game.
We get rid of Sonic.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
I don't think Sonic's going to leave, but...
He won't leave.
Yeah.
Just
put him in a box.
We know the Inklings are going to join. I think if I had my money, I think because of the diversity of ARMS, we're probably not going to get an ARMS character per se.
You don't think so?
Because which ARMS character going to do?
The two.
You know which one they're going to do.
The one that they promote all the time.
But the thing is, I played ARMS, and like all the characters are functionally different.
Yeah, I know. But they put those two in because that's the one that everyone sees from the
whatever.
Old fat ass long hair.
It couldn't just be a palette swap. You want to play the boy or the girl.
Yeah,
and,
they
differently.
Just, right. Yeah.
I don't want that. Who else? Other characters do you think of?
Because
I've been thinking about this for ages. No one's ever.
I hope they get rid of Toon Link.
Yeah, they don't
need it. Yeah, they don't.
Yeah. Like,
I want Crystal from Star Fox Adventures.
Ooh.
Boy, didn't I put Crystal in.
Come on, man. Star Fox is still alive. There are fucking four Star Fox characters in this game. And they all play the same.
Yeah, exactly. They need to get rid of Wolf. They need to change back Falco because he's garbage now. That little throw shield thing is some shit. Shit with a capital T.
Just
because
you can't use it right.
No,
it?
He is shit. And then Fox, whatever, he stays.
You damn right he stays. Catch these feet, cuz. let me see.
They keep Ganondorf.
Horse. Oh, yeah, Ganondorf's gonna stay.
They need to work on his cardio just a little bit. That guy has slowing down a lot.
He's a tank.
I'm hoping they use the Hyrule Warriors design for Ganondorf.
Mm-hmm. Is he more like Boar, right?
Well, he's got the fucking giant mane of hair, and he's like,
oh yeah, 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 yeah. I would like for them to do that.
Just put Impa from Hyrule Warriors. That would be cool.
Okay.
I'm kind of at a loss.
I think the female characters entirely, because Smash has been the boy, the female characters for a long time, also like palette swaps.
Yeah.
That's true.
Now, I'm kind of at a loss to, like, who Travis.
Oh.
Yeah, that could work. We get Travis Amiibo. Ooh. Dark Souls.
Yeah. What about Geralt?
First off.
There's a rumor that Geralt's going to show up in the game this year. We're all thinking it's Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
He's never shown. Here's the thing.
That was so hilarious.
Cloud being in Smash Bros.
The fuck is all this? Super cool. Everybody burn.
Cloud being in Smash Bros. Was something that was super cool, but made no sense to me.
Yeah.
He never showed up on a Nintendo console before. But then someone reminded me he's in Kingdom Hearts. The Kingdom Hearts has been on Nintendo console.
Yeah.
So you can get that loophole. But Geralt has never been on Nintendo console. So.
Yeah. Right. If Geralt, for no reason in particular, showed up in Super Smash Bros.
A new challenger has arrived.
Right. I would main Geralt just to piss off Cam.
Like imagine here's the thing, like the roster is already
it's huge. It's huge. It's too big.
Well,
get rid of Street Fighter characters.
It's not too big when you play random and you have fun.
Yeah, still it's,
Do you think they put a Marvel character in?
Why?
I don't know.
No.
Oh.
Okay.
No. I can't think of a major Marvel game that's been on the console, and then which Marvel character beyond Spider-Man, and then like Marvel. I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. Well, so we're all different. That was the best part of the direct. It was a super solid direct. I think we're probably not going to get another one outside of an individual one for maybe
Pokemon.
Well, that's the next big direct we're going to get is the one for E3.
That's okay, right. Yeah.
And that's probably where we're going to figure out what their end game for the end of the year is going to be. And we're finally going to get information on, hey, that Fire Emblem game you promised of, where's that? What's going on in the future of Metroid and all the other franchises we know you have?
Right.
Like, is Star Fox really dead? Is that Yoshi game ever going to come out? Things like that.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. I guess we'll see what happens in the wind. In the wind.
Sometimes with you. You think we got time for?
No, I don't think we're gonna be able to make it, unfortunately.
Okay.
So we have a little something special for our culture segment, but because the news was so thick.
Yeah, that news was a thick week, boy.
Two C's.
THICC. Dub C.
We are going to end the podcast there.
Yeah.
Actually, we're going to end the podcast here. This has been another episode of Press X Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review our episode, or actually rate and review all of our episodes in your favorite podcasting app.
Please do.
Every little bit really helps. Yeah. We actually need it because, you know what's weird? We actually have a couple reviews on iTunes.
We do?
Yeah. But
they're not from Cam?
No, they're not from Cam. But it's not registering the stars that was attributed to each review.
Oh.
I don't know why. That's so strange. I have to look at it. Anyways. Huh.
Thank you for the reviews that we did get.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If you missed anything, you can find all the details and more at our website, PressX2Start.com.
Yeah.
Until next
time. It's
coming
together. The website.
Yes, it is. Until next time, we have been Press X to Start Podcast, and we shall see you tomorrow.
What?
We're coming to your house.
Peace.
Peace.
Oh, wait. Also.
Oh, yes.
Also, before I forget.
Oh.
This week.
Oh.
The music that will be playing us out.
Ooh.
Will be from my little brother.
What?
Samuel Ellison.
All right.
Check him out on Instagram at HP. Wait, sorry. HGPMD. Yeah.
Homegrown
Productions.
Cool. Peace. Sounds good.